Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. There is one kitab in your library, Arwah al-Salasa. I see, now they changed the name, Hikayat al-Awliya. The actual name was Arwah al-Salasa. Most of the reports that are recorded there are from Abir Shah Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Khorjavi. He wasn't an alim, but he had the blessings and the fortune to be with many of our akabir, from Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and to his children and grandchildren, and then Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and then Hazrat Mohammad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mohammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Mainly quotes from Amir Shah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. He wasn't a formal alim, but if you asked him any masla, then you will find some understanding and some you will get some direction, because he had heard these type of things from these elders. When he heard these things from the elders, then he would quote it at appropriate times. So his understanding was very good, and his memory was very sound, extremely sound, like how you will get muhaddisin quoting, he will be quoting similarly. He'll quote in this manner that I heard this from so-and-so, and he heard it from so-and-so, and this was the occasion that I heard it, and this were the people on my right, this was the person on the left, and this was the place, this was the time. So the whole detail, what he's quoting about 30, 40 years ago, but he can quote all the details, and word for word he can quote it. Anyway, he was in the presence of Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi once, and he asked Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that I was in Makkah Mukarramah once, and there was a youngster that came in. And this youngster says to one sheikh, or his own sheikh, he had some relationship, whatever, the sheikh. So the sheikh tells him that there is a picture of a girl in your heart, and this is the description of this girl. This is her cheeks, this is the hair, this is the features, eyes, etc. This is the nose. The whole description of this girl the sheikh had given to this youngster. Youngster felt a bit ashamed, and he says that in my youth I had fallen in love with a certain girl. I realized that it was my mistake, I shouldn't have done such a thing. I made tawbah and I gave it up. But sometimes the thought of this girl overwhelms me. When it overwhelms me, then I think of her for a few moments until my mind is at ease, and then I carry on, I continue. As they say, old habits die hard. Same old memories. And memories of love are very, very dangerous memories. When you fall in love, then that memory doesn't just leave you at once. In your youth, in your old age, things still plays around with you. So the easiest and simplest thing is not to give your heart to anybody for sensual love. For the sake of Allah, Ta'ala is a different thing. You love someone. Love some sheikh, love some ustad, love someone for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, your parents, is different. But sensual love for anybody, don't give it. Because when you are attached and you hooked up, to unhook is very difficult, very, very difficult. You may have left her physically, but mentally you're in captivity, still jailed up. And this thing will keep playing, keep surfacing. Sometimes you're in namaz, it plays around with you. Sometimes you're in writing sajda, one elderly person, very intelligent person. He says to me, I was just looking around book, and there appeared the photo of a girl. I'm arriving in my sajda, and this girl is coming in front of me. In sajda, we are supposed to be remembering Allah Ta'ala alone, but this girl with all her features is appearing before me. So your heart, don't give it to anybody. Allah Pak make one heart, and in the very recess of the heart, I explained before, there is the possibility of taking just one. See, Mutanabbi, he's got one poetry. The essence of the poetry is that there are a lot of things that you get attached to. So the things that you get attached to is all around the heart. It's around the parameters of the heart. But the person that is dearest, right, that is right in the recess. The others are around. And the one that is dearest is right in the recess, is within. And within the recess, there is the capacity of just one. And that one doesn't want any partnership, just one. So that is the deepest love, right? So this love that you give, just give it for Allah Ta'ala. Don't give it for anybody else. You give it for Allah Ta'ala and you enhance it, you escalate it, you let it grow and grow and grow from strength to strength. But just keep growing, keep growing. The dua that you read, اللهم ارزقني حبك وحب من ينفعني حبه عندك حب عمل يقربني إلى حبك. Your love, the love of deeds that will come, that will make me close to you. The love of a person that will bring me close to you. So everything to Allah Ta'ala. This love must just grow and grow and grow from strength to strength. That love mustn't decrease. Majnoon, you hear of the story, Layla Majnoon. And his father saw his pitiable condition, that he fell in love with this girl. And he doesn't just want to detach, just with her. Not physically, but his mind, his heart, is all just absorbed in her. Any time of the day or night, then it is him and his Layla. Although he had got no physical contact, but the remembrance, that attachment was so deep. Now the father likes the child to bits, obviously, and he doesn't want the child's life to get wasted. But you can see now that the son of mine's, his life is going to get wasted. Night is in Layla, the day is in Layla. Any time he's just with Layla. The king, when he heard about Majnoon, the Majnoon was not an ordinary person, he was a professor, he was. Not an ordinary, that Zamana professor he was. So he called for Majnoon, said, you fell in love with this girl, yeah. So I want to have a glimpse of this girl. So she was ushered in, and she appeared like a Layla. Dark she was. She wasn't. She didn't have any features. So the king looked with contempt. So the king, the Majnoon says, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You may think something else, and I see it differently. So you need to have my eye to appreciate Layla. Right. So anyway, when the father saw this, so he took him for Hajj and told him, now, hold on to the Muztazam, you know, the place between the Hajar Aswad and the dua of the Kaaba Sharif. So that's the place where you cling on and you make dua. Hang on and ask for dua. Dua is answered. Dua yustajabu indal multazam. Right? So he held on and said, now make dua. You make toba from all these things. The stupid things that you are doing now, make toba. So in that now he says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Ilahi, tubtu min kulli asi. I make toba from every guna. Tubtu min kulli ma'asi. All my gunas. Walakin hubbu layla la atubu. love, but the love of Leela, that I don't ask for forgiveness. That I want to increase. So that's now love, muhabbat. But that muhabbat that is in the recess, that wants growth. It just wants to grow from strength to strength. It just wants to move on. You'll see an old chacha also, and his old wife also, he'll call her queen. But now, she's nothing now. You can see now, they both are nanas and dadas. They've already got grandchildren. She doesn't have that type of features any longer. But you can't ask him to forget his wife. His love for her just grows and grows. So that's an original love. But that original love must be for Allah Ta'ala alone. That don't give it to anybody. If you fall into this love, then to detach, to break away from this love is very, very difficult. And many a times I tell students, people in the Khanqa or students, or any other activity of deen, but there's two things you have to look after yourself. If you want your life not to get wasted, then just take care of two things. One is your eyes and sensual love. Any student or any person in the Khanqa or any deeni work, he fell into this, then he wasted his life. Then he can't concentrate on work. The subject that he has to study, progress, understand, get to terms and get to grips, then he doesn't get it as he's supposed to be getting because his mind is absorbed somewhere else. And when his mind is absorbed, then he can't do justice to that. So one is that person who's fell into some type of sensual love. His life waste, he doesn't get out of life what he's supposed to be getting. One person fell into the sensual love. It's a long story, but I'm just cutting it. So it is, this sensual love also is such, it doesn't pick up your health, it doesn't improve your health. You begin to waste and deteriorate. Because your mind is just in that. One person, he writes to Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, that was much younger, you know. I was young, and after Fajr, I was strolling, nice, cool, around the meadows, I was taking a stroll. And that was the zaman of the English, you see, 1920s, 30s, zaman of the English. And as I'm strolling around the meadows, then I see a horse coming from the distance. And to my surprise, it was a young girl that was on the horse, elegant, hairstyle, you know, how the hair was flapping, she's galloping, all the features she had. And that picture just stuck in my heart. My heart just captured that picture, and that picture doesn't want to leave my heart. Now I go to sleep, it's the same girl that I saw on the horse, riding so elegantly and galloping away. So that stuck in my heart. I get up in the morning, then she's the first thing. I just picture her. And many a times at night, I just have to put the godru, the blanket over me, and it's me and her. I can't just detach, just cut myself away from her. Then I thought to myself, you know, that this can't continue, because I can't get married to this girl for whatever reason. But I thought, you know, I need to break away from this. So I moved away from that town to another town. 30, 40, 50 miles away, moved away. But the thoughts of this girl became even more stronger. Then I thought, all right, you know, the second ilaj, the second cure may be marriage. So I got married and I got wife and children. But the thought is just escalating all the time. Then I thought, you know, I won't even make a mention of her. You know, you're discussing something and by mistake you'll just talk about that girl. Or take a name. I won't even take a name. I won't even make a topic of discussion. That thing just grew and grew and grew. What do I do? So this sensual love is one of those things that destroys the very essence of education. You want education, you want understanding very sound, then don't ever experiment with this. Very, very dangerous. In fact, I tell you, even for a business, you're doing a business and you're involved in some type of sensual pleasure and love, your business also go down. Don't get ever caught into this thing here. It's so dangerous. You na deen ka rehta hai aadmi, na dunya ka rehta hai. Then you are not good for doing any dini work, not good for any dunya work. Both you lose out. So this person, I was explaining, he's in the throes of death and he's involved in sensual love. Right? So they're prompting him to say the kalima, and the last words that come out of his tongue Hawaki alazzu ila fuadi min hawal azizil jalili. Your love, he's talking to this beloved, your love is more enjoyable to me than the love of Allah Ta'ala as well. He had to say these words and his soul departed. So it's such a dangerous thing. You lose out dunya, you lose out deen, everything. You're not good for your dunya, you're not good for your deen. Whether it's your studies, whether it is your business, whether it is your profession, you begin to fail and collapse in everything. So don't fall into this sensual love. And it's even worse, sensual love is even worse when it is with a boy, man to man, boy to boy. Because you can't get married. You know, if it was a girl, right, that you fell in love with, at some point perhaps you can get married too, you can propose, marry, and end this subject up. But if it's a boy, you can't get married. Now someone may say, but in this zamana, this is also possible. Someone may say, this is also possible in this zamana. But this is such a possibility, it's so disgraceful, that nobody will come into a masjid or something and say, this is my wife. Will ever say that? A head of a state, say head of Israel or head of America, has to come into a parliament session or has to visit in overseas countries. Normally they come with their wives, right? So will you ever pose before the cameraman, this is my wife? It's so deplorable, so disgusting. You're not prepared to do such a thing. They know it, although they made it a statutory law now that you have to accept this. But they know that it's disgusting, it's deplorable, it's something very, 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 very embarrassing. So nobody will say such a thing. But this is my wife. They won't say it. So that is why I say, to have this type of a love for a person, for a boy, is even worse, because you can't end this thing up. For a woman, at least, at some point, you can find some type of closure. But here, you can't. And then there's no production. A man gets married to a man, then can there be any production? No production. You can't. It's a woman, then there is some production. There is something after it. Here, there's nothing. No after results. So this is one thing that destroys your education. Any progress, anything that you're starting off, but it'll destroy you. Waste away your time, your life, your energy, your understanding, even your bodily health and your youth, your beauty, everything will get lost. You lose out khasira dunya wal akhirah. And the second thing that brings about a sharp decline and destruction to your knowledge and to any worldly progress is when you're in the habit of getting into discussions and arguments. Arguments, discussions, quarrels, debates, right? When you get into this, then you always want to be the right person. You want to be the right person. But you will see that when you get into these arguments, fighting, quarreling, right? After you have entered into that, you'll find that your concentration in namaz is lost. If you are studying a book, then your concentration is gone, finished, you can't concentrate, right? Then, if you are amongst your friends, you don't have the type of happiness that you enjoyed sometimes because you fell into an argument, right? So your namaz is gone. If you're studying something, that is gone. If you are reading the Quran Sharif, that is gone. You engage in zikr, that is gone. The concentration is gone. In your business, you can't think so well, right? And then you, with your friends, you don't have that type of enjoyment and happiness. So this argument and fighting, the misuse of the tongue, this also brings the same thing. You can't concentrate after that. Your mind is devastated. You can't concentrate. You can't focus. You can't concentrate. On your namaz, you can't concentrate. Initially, when the verses of wine, right, were revealed, then لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. In the state of intoxication. Because there's no concentration. So this illat is mushtarak. Whether it's intoxicants or it is arguments. Both these things, arguments and intoxications, they distract you from your work. That is remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Anis salati, an dhikrillahi wa anis salah. From the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, from namaz, from your main works, these things move you away. They distract you, they turn you away, they divert you. So how can you go into something that will turn you away from the most beloved, the beloved of the beloved? Allah Ta'ala is the beloved of the beloved. There isn't anybody that is above Allah Ta'ala. And this thing here, you're arguing, you're debating, quarreling, fighting, has turned you away. Right? Yesterday we were explaining that verse, Ibadur Rahman. The first two descriptions, right? يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. One is, when they walk on the earth, then they all walk gracefully, not proudly and haughtily, to show their worth, to show their persons. And the second is, and if any person, a jahil has to address them, then they say salam. What do you mean by say salam? So salam, one is from taslim and one is tasallum, right? Root words. Taslim, you know, and tasallum, in other words, you breaking away from the person, but peacefully. You are moving away from the person peacefully. So if someone, if a jahil addresses you, obviously an ignorant person, what is meant here is he addresses you in an ignorant fashion, then you will say words and move away gently, move away. You know, now it's going to be breaking your mind, breaking your spirit. You're not going to get much out of this thing here. So what's the right thing? You look after yourself and look after your time. You don't need to lose your time, nor do you need to lose your respect, nor do you need to lose your person. If you want to engage with this person, what's going to happen? It's either a jahil who doesn't know, or a person that is behaving like a jahil. Sometimes it's a jahil, and sometimes it is a person that is behaving like a jahil. He may not be jahil, he may be an educated person, but now, presently, he is behaving like the beast. So the beast in him has overtaken him. So it is not that person, it is the beast within him that has overtaken him. When it is the beast in him that has overtaken him, then it is not that original person, then what are you supposed to be doing? Are you supposed to be engaging with him more and more, talking with him, or moving away? Qalu salama, then you say words of salam. In other words, gently you move away. Tasallum, move away. Gently, gracefully, peacefully, move away. Right? You don't prolong that discussion. You don't continue with that. You're going to continue, either he's going to say something bad. You may be tempted, you may get spurred up. When he says something, you may get spurred up. For example, he picks out your father, right? And then you pick out his father. He swears your mother, and you swear his seven generations, right? Then he doesn't end up there. He says, no, you're picking out my father. And then he gives you one smack. He slaps you, or he punches you, and you give him two punches. Or he points towards your nose like this straight, you know, watch out. So you get incited, you get spurred up, and say, hey, what are you doing? What do you think? Give one shot. So he gives you another two shots. And then from a small thing, it escalates, it goes up then. Right? Then you are hurt physically, your dignity is gone, right? Physically you are hurt, right? Morally you are hurt, you are disturbed, every way you are hurt. So the right thing is, you can see now, this thing is going to go into an argument, it's going to become unpleasant, it's going to become very ugly, distasteful, move away. And I tell you, even if it is be with your own wife, you see now, this thing is going to carry on, and I'm going to say something unpleasant, or she's going to say something unpleasant, move away. Turn the topic. If you can't turn the topic, then move away. Just move away, say, no, I just need to go to the bath, just wash up a little bit, clean up. When everything is calmed and everything is simmered down, then you come again. What will you lose? But you're going to say something, she's going to say something, then her face is pulled up or your face is pulled up. Now you want to sleep. and she doesn't want to look at you, or she doesn't talk to you nicely, how do you feel? How raat kis tarah se guzregi? How was the night pass? Are you trying to get some attention, and she's turned away? You're trying to steal some attention from her, and she just turned away. See, this man told me this type of words. Now, how must I look at her? Or how must I look at him? You're trying for some attention. Please, last time down. I won't do it again. But why did you have to speak at that time? You could have just kept quiet, and it would have just ended there. No, I must have the last word. I must have the last say. Let her have the last say. What will go of yours? If you had let her have the last say, last word, then you would have lost anything. You wouldn't have lost anything. Just let her have the last word. Finish, khalas. You do your own thing. Sab ki sun, apni kar. Let her say whatever she needs to say, but do what you think was right. You don't have to do what she says all the time. Now and then you have to listen to her also. Make her feel big. But it doesn't mean that in everything you have to listen to her. But when I say listen to her, means obey her. Right? Yeah, listen means to obey her. But overall, just listen. She's saying something, you can see she's worked up, and oh, yeah, your father caused it, and your mother did this, and you know, she has no business. But you got worked up. So, you know, you picked out my mother. You know who you picked on. Now you give your bayan. I got no place. And she'll turn around and say, I got no place in this house. I'm like a slave here. I'm going to just carry on like this. Eat a humble pie and carry on. I'm a furnisher here. I got no feelings, no emotion, nothing. You all are the bosses. You're right. Do whatever you want to do now. How do you feel? You want a partner that's alive, that's hubbly, bubbly, that's talking, engaging with you. But now, it was because of your lack of understanding and wisdom. Understanding and wisdom. Or as she's saying one, two words, let her say it, khalas. She'll say it, and you'll forget it, and she'll forget it, and you'll resume normal relationship. But she said something, and you said something, and again she said something, and you said something, then there's no end to this story. So look for ways to end up this. And I say these two things, they destroy your life, the enjoyment, your business, progress deen-wise and dunya-wise, both you lose out. Just listen to the person. End of the story, he got happy, carried on, continue with your life. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah relates the story, several times mentioned the story. This is the indication of wisdom. When Allah Pak blesses someone with wisdom, then it's not just like that. Now they say in Gujarati, I bhanelo che gharelo ni male. What do you mean? In English you may say, he's educated, but he's not intelligent. He's got education, right? We don't dispute that. But intelligence is something else. Now, people mix the both, education and intelligence. So intelligence is something else, and education is something else. So some person may not be so educated, but he's wise, very, 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 very wise. In any situation, he can bring out a solution, he can find a room out and exit. So Hazrat Ji Hamdallah should speak about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, two incidents he mentioned. One was Imam Saab rahmatullah alayhi was living in a home with stairs, about 90 some odd stairs to come up to his house. One person comes and knocks at the door. So Imam Saab comes down gently, respectfully. So this person says, hey, I just forgot, man. You know, that question that I was supposed to ask you. Imam Sahib is old at the time, 65, 70. So to walk down, come up against, Imam Sahib, without a frown, without pulling up his face, says to him, all right, when you remember, then you can come up again. Nothing, no hard feelings. When you remember, but Imam Sahib is not getting any pay for this, no remuneration, no wages, no salary. But there's no frown on his face, nothing, absolutely nothing. Comes down, listens to the person, goes on. Not even 10 minutes, knock again. Imam Saab comes again, hey man, my memory is just fading. Every time I come here, just at the doorstep, and I forget. No, nothing, no hard feelings. Come again, whenever you remember again, you come up. He did this about 5-6 times. Imam Saab is not at all showing any type of disapproval. For the 8th time or so, he says, yeah, now I remember, yeah. What is the taste of excreta? Now, Bishara, how that's related to, no masla that. It's not a masla or something that you must know. You don't know if the malakul maut will grip you then. No such a thing. No, what is the taste of excreta? Now imagine when you are to be an imam, right? Then you're going to be stretched out. Allah is going to try you out for your tolerance, for your endurance. You're going to be tested out. Allah doesn't post anybody as an imam straight. You're going to be a leader of a community, then he's going to be stressed out for your tolerance, your endurance. What's the level? So Imam Sahib reflected for a moment and said, all right, when it's fresh, it seems to be a little bit sweet. And when it's dried out, then it doesn't seem to be very sweet and enjoyable. So what's your proof? Do you taste it? Imagine that person, he gave Imam Sahib the uphill, literally, up and down, right? And then he asked that a question. And then Imam Sahib gives an answer. So what's your proof? So Imam Sahib says the proof of it is that when the thing is fresh, you'll find flies sitting on it. Then flies normally go to things that are sweet, normally. So therefore, I say it's sweet when it's fresh. Oh, all right, Jazakallah, you know, you answered my question at least. The second incident explained, now I haven't seen it in Kitab, but Hazrat may have come across it. Says that Imam Sahib is going home, right? En route now, Imam Sahib has got his students, people that hold him in respect, in high esteem, they are accompanying him to the house. So, as he's coming near his home, in fact, en route, that one person is swearing him, embarrassing him, and disgracing him. And Imam Sahib has just got his head down, he's listening and he's carrying on. All around, all his supporters, his students, all elderly people, respectable people, Imam Sahib is not showing any disapproval, nothing. As he approaches his home, so he stops for a moment, then he tells the person, you see, bhai, this is my house. Perhaps you've got some more things to tell me. Now I have to go, I have to branch off, and you may have some regret in your heart that I won't need you to tell this, I need to sway him even more, I need you to tell more things. But the man didn't give me a chance to say these things. So I'll stop for you. Whatever you need to say, you may say it, and then I'll branch off. See that level of endurance, the level of tolerance, right? Now, I say that this intelligence and this type of wisdom, right, it's a different thing. It's not through learning and education. It's a different thing altogether. And this is a mark of a wise person, an intelligent person. Listens, he doesn't get spurred up, doesn't get worked up on every statement that people make. Whether it's his wife, whether it is his near and dear one, whether it's the person that is away, making those statements, it doesn't really bother him. Listens and carries on, right? Continue with your life. You don't have to answer everybody, every mail you don't have to answer, every question you don't have to answer. Some you have to answer, some leave it out and just move on. The problem is that you feel that I must answer everything and every person. You don't have to answer every person. You don't have to reply to every mail. Where it is important, you will answer. Where it's not important, you will leave it. Our Qari Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had gone for a lecture program. I used to go for lectures, bayans everywhere. So after the lecture, people come and meet. You will sit down, people meet. Sometimes people are asking questions and all that. So one person in this gathering, he asked some of these popular questions that they used to criticize our ulama. You know, they say about Gangui Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said this and this and this and this, whatever, whatever. So, our Qari Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Allah blessed him with a lot of wisdom. Allah filled his grave with nur, blessed him with a lot of wisdom. So, he says there can be one of two situations. One is you really are researching this whole thing, right? If you're researching this, then there are books available, like Bastul Banan and all this. You'll find so many kitabs. I can show you where you can get it from, and you can research it yourself. And if it is that you want to engage me in an argument, in a quarrel, then فَنَّ مُجَادَلَا سِهَمْ نَاوَقِفًا. Then from the science of fighting and arguing, I didn't learn that science of fighting and arguing and debating. Unfortunately, I didn't learn that science, so I can't be of any assistance to you. But how he came out so beautifully, no fight, no argument, he didn't further the discussion. Because it's either the person is true, he really wants to know. If he really wants to know, these are the kitabs, you can go and check it. And if the person is not true, right, the person is not true, then what's the reason, what's the need to engage him, continue with this discussion? Neither he's going to benefit, nor are you going to benefit. Abu Busugana then look for ways where you're going to come out of a fight peacefully, no fight, no argument, no confrontation, you're going to move out. Admiral Gangway Sabir Rahmatullahi once had come to Dioban, so Friday, and in the Chatta Masjid, some of you have seen it. So that was the original masjid. So more than the original masjid, more of the masjid was the sahan, the open area. Like how you got a sahan here, open area. Right. So the more the masjid was the open area, and less of it was the covered area. Covered area was, I think, was about 5 serfs. And then more of it was the open area. So it was the Jummah, and the last Jummah of Ramadan. And in the peak summer. In India, peak summer is around May, June, July. That's peak summer. Right? The temperatures can go 45, 50 degrees. Right? Jummah, you have a crowd like you don't have the rest of the week. Because everybody will come to the main masjids. So a visiting person, he requested Mawlana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi that if he can be allowed to give the last khutbah of the last Friday of Ramadan, right? And where in the old days they say Al-Wada Ya Ramadan, Al-Wada Ya Ramadan. Some of you must have heard all this, right? So he went on to the minbar and he's giving Al-Wada Ya Ramadan, Al-Wada Ya Ramadan. And it's the sweltering heat people are sitting in. And his khutbah is carrying on for over half an hour, three quarter an hour. Admiral Gangway Sahib Rahmatullahi was in the midst. So he stood up and he says, end of the khutbah, people are suffering in the heat. So that person now, he took off. Dekho is Wahhabi ku. Look at this Wahhabi. He doesn't know that at the time of the khutbah, you're not supposed to be talking. So knew what he was doing. He was the faqih ul nafs, faqih of the zamana he was. So he knew what he was doing. He says, where are you showing me maslas? You are at a position that I'm supposed to hold you by your ear and pull you out of the mimbar. Can you see? You may just faint just now. Someone may just vomit, throw up in his heat. You know what you are doing? Anyway, he rounded up the khutbah. And people didn't want to read namaz behind him. Anyway, whoever performed the namaz, after the namaz, Mawlana Gangway Sahib Rahmatullahi had already gone, finished. So this person here comes out and he says, where is that Wahhabi? I want to show him now, where is he? So Mawlana knew now this is going to happen. After the namaz, he'd want a confrontation, he'd want an audience, and he'll perform. So Mawlana didn't give him that opportunity to perform. Now, in front of everybody, you know, shout, if we come into a fight, come to blows and all that. And then someone will come on Mawlana's side, someone will come on his side. Best thing is, after the faras, go home, read your sunnahs at home. Didn't give him a chance. See? So they will avoid any type of confrontation. They won't entertain this. What we like and what we would look forward to, or put that person in his place, there will be a lesson for one and for all. You know? There won't be a repetition of this type of thing. How we look at it, these people look at it totally differently. Totally differently. The niyat was something else. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, his khanqah, like you all have seen, many of you all, khanqah, and he had a madrasa there. So it got established, khanqah, madrasa, got his library, everything. Now some of the townspeople got jealous, okay, Mawlana is growing, and people are coming to him from far and abroad. So when people see this, that people are coming from far and abroad, then you get jealous, you get envious that I don't get the audience that he is getting. So they want to get back at you. Oh, someone is coming from here, from Joburg, from Durban, from Maritzburg, from Ladysmith. So when a person is getting an audience from far and abroad, and you are just stuck there, you don't get anything like that, so you become envious. So they were having some type of a secret council that we should be in control of this Khanqah. They can't carry on like this, we should control it. When I can't control it, we must control it. We will command and we will instruct, we will direct this whole place, we will program the whole thing. And they were having meetings upon meetings. Maulana got to hear about it, that this is what's going on, and today is one of those meetings. So the moment Maulana heard and heard that today is one of those meetings, so he went himself in the midst of the meeting. So he went, made salam, and he says, "But you don't get shocked with my presence. I just came to make things easier, smoother, and better for you, not to complicate matters. I hear you people are concerned about the control of the Khanqah, the masjid, the madrasa, library, etc. So, whatever your intentions are, I don't want to debate your intentions. But see, you may have the Khanqah, this is the keys. The control of the madrasa, you can have it. The control of the masjid, the madrasa, the Khanqah, everything, you can have it. And I will go away. As far as some of the furniture and the books are concerned, then they belong to so-and-so. If he gives it to you, you can have the books as well. And I will move on. You all can control, you all can run. And inshallah, I suppose you'll be able to do a better job than myself. But this, I'm surrendering the keys to you. You all can have it from now. You all can continue." Now the all fishes are nukisu ala ru'usim. They all fell ashamed. What we are doing and what Mullah came up with now is like a bombshell, worse than a bombshell. See, but I'm showing you the mizaj, the temperament of Abu Zughar. They didn't like fights, quarrels, confrontation, take the bull by the horn. The only bull that you take by the horn is your nafs, right? Nafs and shaitan. That bull you must take by the horn. Nafs saying, no, you must look at the wrong thing. I'll take the bull by the horn. No, you're not going to see it. Say the wrong thing, no, you're going to hold the bull by the horn. That bull, the bull of shaitan and nafs, that you'll hold by the horn. But others, you'll move away. Gently, you move away. Diffuse the whole situation. Now, they got nothing left now. They wanted to fight. They wanted a whole show. They wanted an audience. They wanted people to talk about it. Now, there's nothing to talk. If there's something to talk and discuss, then Mullah has left no room for them to discuss, to debate, to quarrel, nothing. Anyway, eventually, they felt embarrassed. It was our mistake. We acted very, very stupidly, with naivety. Now they understood now, see, that the masjid will come under the control, madrasa, library, khanqah, and we don't have the expertise, we don't have the knowledge to run this thing here. We'll make a laughing stock of ourselves. So rather, let's leave it more than we controlling the thing. When the thing came, when it came to them, now they understood, what a predicament we would be in. Rather we be out of it. So our mistake, you will never see us repeating this again. So you see this, two things I says. One is the eyes, sensual love. And one is the tongue. Arguing, fighting. And then arguing, fighting is one type of misuse. The other is gossiping, carrying tales, right? Normally carrying tales, gossiping, and ghibat, etc., is done by one of two types of persons. Either the person who is too haughty and proud of himself. So he will want to run down. You won't find someone making ghibat of a great buzruk. Like you hear anybody making ghibat of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi. Well, you hold him in esteem, you hold him in respect, so you won't make ghibat about him. So you'll make ghibat about the person that you look down upon. That means you looking at yourself with some haughtiness and pride, and you're looking down at that person. So therefore, you are making ghibat about that person. Right? So either you make ghibat of a person that you look down upon, or the other person that engages in ghibat is a person that is lazy, doesn't want to do anything. But when someone else is doing it, then he wants to criticize and run that person down. So he can't do it himself, but someone is doing it, so he's got a lot of things to say. Na khud karte hai, aur na kisi ko karne dete hai. He doesn't do it himself, but someone is taken that courage to do it, so he's going to run him down. So either the haughty person or the lazy person, they get into a lot of gossips, carrying tales, panchayat. That is why you see more women of, it's a woman orientated thing. They don't do it, but someone is doing it, then they've got a lot of things to say. Right? So these two things really, it destroys your deen and your dunya. Your knowledge, your understanding, your progress, your happiness, your respect and your dignity, everything goes. Eyes and your tongue, misuse. How much of emphasis is in the hadith just upon the eyes, misuse of the eyes, sensual love and tongue, misuse, abuse, insult, disgrace. Right? We hear about interest, such a bad thing, right? Such a serious thing. Right? Don't we hear about interest? That if one dirham of interest is like 36 times zina, and that interest is in about 36 levels, right? The lowest level is like committing incest with your own mother, right? So interest is so bad. Interest is so bad. And the thing that is even worse than interest is istitalatul lisan fi irdil mu'min, to in disgrace, to insult a Muslim. To disgrace, to insult, to run down a Muslim, to despise him. Now, this we don't consider as a sin any longer. That interest we consider as a sin, but to disgrace, to run down, to embarrass, to insult, do we consider the sin to be sin any longer? That is why the hadith is speaking mainly about this tongue, eyes. Tongue and eyes. And these are the few days left now. How many days now? Today's the 16th. Eh? So it's just about 14 rosas left now. So it's 14 rosas, at least try and practice this. Tongue, look after tongue properly. Look after the eyes properly. If we don't see things that we're not supposed to be seeing, and we don't engage in talks and discussion, etc., that will ruin our etikaf, our rosa, the goodness, the luster of the good that we're doing must be preserved. It must last us for the next year. And not for just the next year, for years to come it must last. So these are the preservation points. So this eyes and tongue and ears are such, it's like the holes in the pocket, right? Yeah, you've got a lot of gold coins and you're filling in. If you don't block those holes, what you have gathered, everything gets wasted. So the same, whatever you have gathered now, if you don't close your eyes, your tongue, your ears from all wrong, what you have gathered, it will just get out. It will just drop away. Allah Bakhtu Fikasi Bera.